Well, good morning. It's 8:18 on Sunday, August 3rd, 2017. Tomorrow's Labor Day. Dragon Con is in full bloom. We've kind of let the ball drop on Dragon Cant. Not this year. We haven't been sort of distracted, as they say. Heavily, heavily distracted. I'm getting closer to Natalia's Smuggler's Tale. I'm getting much closer. I don't exactly have it yet, but it's coming. It's coming. Ah, it's a beautiful morning. It is like 56, 58 degrees. Sun is up, high thin clouds. And I'm out later than I expected, but I got, not too surprising, I got sidetracked. I'm getting sidetracked a lot lately, but it's not, the thing about sidetracks, as I said, sometimes I spend a lot of time on what I call sidetracks, but are actually process. So I've been playing a lot of Avorian. I'm aggravated by it. I need to figure out how to do creative so I don't have to fight every time I turn around while I'm trying to build a new spaceship. But I've started to put together the pieces that I think I need. I've got some inspiration images that I think will be cool. So part of the deal is that when you're doing this, you don't really pay that much attention to your ship until it gets snarled up in wreckage or something, and then in my single player game, I fly basically a box with two wings that have pods on them. The wings are too long, and the pods get tangled up, and it's kind of tedious. In a multiplayer game, I've got a lot of good stuff, but the ship I'm flying looks like a B-1 bomber. It doesn't look like a spaceship. I wanted to see if I could make wings with drop pods and a bunch of stuff, and yeah, I can. But from a practicality standpoint, there's a lot of... it's a lot of wasted space. I did some things that I think are good. I hid thrusters in the wings and then armored them so it looks solid. And then added modular pods for stuff. The problem is that the modular pods are tedious to try to provision. So if I want a pod that has cargo capacity in it, then the design I have for the pods is not exactly conducive to making that happen. There's a lot of wasted space in there. So I've tried to come up with a new design that will take advantage of the space that's there and a way that I can use more efficiently. The way that I can provision more effectively. So I can put in a pod that has cargo, and put in another pod that has crew, and put in another pod that has shields or thrusters, or shields and thrusters, or something. So I think I'm there. I think I'm getting there. I'm almost there. Blah, 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 blah. It's a work in progress. It's coming together, I think. So I got sidetracked doing some building this morning. And the thing about the building, the thing about being sidetracked, the thing about playing this game, that's the same thing that happens with Minecraft, is that I get into Minecraft and I get building things. I build great buildings, or I build great mines, or... In Minecraft, I don't get to build great ships, but... Although the modded Minecraft, Forever Stranded, you did get to build your own ship. They weren't necessarily great. They functioned or not. But having done pretty much all the missions in Forever Stranded, it's sort of lost a little bit of its luster now. It's just a question of acquiring materials and acquiring stuff. And you need the stuff in order to build, but... And do I want to build on the planet that I've created? Do I want to build on a planet that has actual water? Do I want to just say, I think I'll play Avorian? Avorian has a workshop in Steam where you can, if you're running the right version of the software, you can download ships from the workshop. Ships, and there, some of them are really, really cool. But what I find myself doing is looking at them for inspiration and then going to try to build one of my own. But the thing about the building, the thing about that engagement is that it takes up the front of my brain. And the back of my brain, where the creative stuff happens, is still sorting out Natalia and Zoya and what they want and what they want to do. And Natalia's probably, at this point, beginning to get a little bit jaded with trying to make a living with her peregrine, with her little scout. And thinking about what she might do instead, which she'll probably get to in the next book, but in this book we need to show her kind of, I think, having some second thoughts about making a living as a courier, making a living with the peregrine. The fact that her father gave it to her, her father made it possible for her to have it. There's a sentimental attachment to the ship that isn't necessarily being upheld by the actuality of it. It made a good ship for her to go to the academy in. It made a good ship for her to have as her first ship. But looking ahead, she's two Stanyers in the future from Milk Run. She's been banging around with Zoya for a while, and they aren't really getting very much ahead. They're living simply. They've got a small apartment. They're living at Dark Knight. But it's not really where they need to be. And she needs to realize it's not really where they need to be. I think that's the problem. And then she has to figure out where she does need to be. And then she needs to figure out where the hell her father went. Now, I realize that this is another lost father. I should have had a lost mother, but her father's not really lost. Her father is not really missing. At least not at this point in time. In fire, we talked about it. Oh, say it with me. Monk post. In fire, I talked about it. Dimitri Ruggieri. And the chief was looking for him. She visited with Ingisol, Sonia's daughter. So the chief was, he's sort of not where he's supposed to be many years later. So at this point in time, we don't really know where he is, other than he's somewhere in toehold space. And perhaps that's the answer. Perhaps what we need to do is not have him missing, because she's not really missing him. She doesn't really have the kind of relationship with her father. She doesn't hear from him once a week. She's going to look around and say, "Where the hell? What's going on? Where's everybody?" It's not who she is. It's not who her father is. It's not who they are as a family. It's complicated. I'd like the relationship that Ishmael had with his mother, which is very close right up to the time he was 18 and she died, and with his father, whom he really only had vague memories of, because he left dad behind and still very young. I think back to when I was 4. And I can't remember. I mean, I remember there was a primary school teacher. I don't remember what her name is. I don't remember what she looks like. I remember going to school. I don't remember what it was like. I don't remember what I actually did. Was it friends' school? I know that, but that's only because they beat it into us. Not exactly. No, that they. That's not true. It's not true. It's not fair. We were reminded of it regularly. Let's put it that way. It was part of the mantra. If you get separated from an adult, you know, where do you live? What was your address? What was your phone number? And I knew my phone number from a very young age. I don't even remember what the number. I don't know if the number is still assigned to anyone anymore, whether it rings at my niece's house, or because the house I grew up in is now her house. When my mother died, she left it to her, so that's cool. I'm good with that. I don't. There are a lot of things that I, you know, it's got some, a lot of baggage with my parents. My mother in particular. I sort of reconciled with my father for many years before he died, so that wasn't an issue. My mother, I gave up any hope of reconciliation many years before she died. I've already lived longer than she did. She had a very hard life. Part of it is she had polio. She had a very, very hard life. And it shaped her. It shaped her in ways that I don't really understand, other than because she was the way she was, I am the way I am. And I've spent many, 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 many years in therapy. Not necessarily to undo what she did, but to integrate it so that I don't have to carry it with me. It's not an extra burden, it's just part of who I am. So anyway, yeah, Natalia has these issues to deal with. Zoya has the blessings of her parents and her grandparents. Her grandfather is really the one who set her on the path. Her grandmother is the one who offered the pithy wisdom. Gramps was kind of a quiet guy. Gramps was a businessman. He started out as a miner. He started out running a mining barge. He started out as a captain on a barge in CPJCT space, in the High Line. But he's kind of a gruff guy. He's kind of a burly guy. And he and his partner, his wife, and their second in command who will make a cameo appearance in, perhaps in Suicide Run. They're the ones. Zoya had a very strange childhood. She was a ship captain at 12. Now, to be fair, she was not an interstellar trader captain at 12. She was the captain of an ore carrier, an ore barge. And her ship never left the system. It just went to where the miners were, collected the ore, and then hauled it back to the smeltery. And occasionally, since it was a tender sort of function, they would take new crew out and replace the crew that was there and take the old crew back to station for some R&R downtime. So these were very routine things. And she sailed with her grandfather until he retired to the office. And so she was actually in space from the time she was like 5. By the time he retired, she was 12. So she'd been sailing with him for 7 years. So she knew the crew. She knew where things were. She wasn't necessarily old enough to understand all the implications, but she'd seen enough that 12 years old, while ridiculously young, is sort of like being put in the seat of the tractor on the farm, where you take the tractor and you drive out with a hay wagon, and the crew puts the bales on the hay wagon, then you drive the hay wagon back. Or you go and you plow the North 40. So you go out in the morning and you run up and down all day, driving the tractor. Same kind of deal. It's very routine. It's very mundane. There's very little opportunity for unexpected kinds of catastrophes. And she had her grandfather's sailing master, his first mate, as her mentor to keep her on the straight and narrow. And he sort of brought her along into the captain seat, which is why she's doing so well as first mate. That's why she's doing so well, because she's had very strong grounding in the field. She's got their training behind her. She's got a lot of experience in the field that doesn't really show up, but it stands her in very good stead. At any rate, here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.